Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, coming to you not live from Florence, South Carolina, but I'm actually down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It is spring break, so I'm getting enjoying a little bit of the sun, a little bit of the sand, and a little bit of the ocean, but I am so happy and excited about episode number 1437, and I am so delighted that you have decided to join in to be encouraged, uplifted, empowered, and educated, because that's exactly what you're going to get tonight. So again, thank you for joining in. I am your host, Arthenius, with One Touch Transformation, where we are a nonprofit organization that where its mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. So we are here to not only focus on that traumatic experiences that have occurred in so many lives, but we're also here to focus on the other side of it, which is healing. And I can speak from experience that healing is available to anyone who has endured sexual abuse. Not only that, but this month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. April has been deemed a time set aside for us to advocate every day of this month, even though some of us do it year-round, but April has been set up where everyone can support, where everyone can raise awareness and let others know that, look, this is happening. This isn't something that just started, but this is something that has been going on for so long, and it continues to go on. It's been thriving for so many years because we failed to talk about it. We fail to incorporate it into our conversations. We fail to teach our young children about who our predators are, that it's not just strangers or people they don't know, but it's sometimes it's the people who they trust, the people they often see from time to time, whether it's family members, whether it's friends of the family, whether it's people you go to church with, people in your community. It's often people that you know. So it's not always someone randomly off the street, or like I said, it's not stranger danger anymore, but it's someone within our circles that is often preying on children or preying on its members or preying on those who appear to be weaker than others. And so with it being Sexual Assault Awareness Month, you know, we're going to focus a lot on this tonight. And, you know, I talk about it every show because that's what this platform is all about. I want to educate you some. I want to raise some awareness. And I also want to focus on the healing side of it. And so before we even get into it, you might want to jot this number down and these other websites that I'm going to give. So first off, I want to go ahead and give you the sexual assault hotline. Even if you don't need it personally, maybe you know someone who may need it. And maybe someone has confided in you and you did not know where to send them. Well, for starters, here is the sexual assault hotline. That number is 1-800-656-4673. Again, that number is 1-800-656-4673. Another website that you can write down, or a website that you can write down, is RAINN.org. That's RAINN.org. And that's for the organization Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. There's a place where you can put in your zip code, and it would direct you to the closest rape crisis center in your area. So that's RAINN.org. So this is another great resource that you can pass along to someone who is ready to take that step, someone who is wondering how to begin their healing, where to go, because there are resources available in almost every community. And sometimes we as supporters, or even you as a supporter, may not know where to begin or what to even say, but these are steps that we all can take. And then there's one more that I want to give out, and this is for male survivors, because a lot of times we do, as a community and as organizations, sometimes we do focus more on women, but we know that it happens to males too. So a good website for males is 1in6.org. So that's the number 1in6.org. And that's actually part of the statistics for male survivors, because 1 in 6 male survivors have or will be a victim of sexual assault. All righty, so I hope you have those resources written down. If not, I will give them out again at the end of the show. But I just want to take the time to say thank you again for tuning in. Those who are listening by phone, I appreciate you calling in. And those of you who are listening online, thank you for signing on. We would not be able to do what we do without your support, and we are so appreciative of you. All right, so why do I do what I do? Let's see. First, let me just go to the scripture. It is Proverbs 31, and I'm reading from the NIV, but it's Proverbs 31, and I'm going to read verse 8. And it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And I'm just going to read that first clause. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. So when we think about or even talk about sexual abuse, for some, I'm not even going to say it's for everyone because it's not for me anymore, but for some it is a very difficult topic, and it's often taboo, meaning a lot of people just avoid it, don't even talk about it at all because it's just, it's too much. And as I began advocating over the past 7 years, I have realized that it's sensitive because people often know someone or even have personally dealt with it themselves, and that's what made it so sensitive or so difficult to talk about, because no one bothered to even have the conversation either before, during, or after. And so it was one of those conversations that was just kind of pushed to the side, like, we're not going to talk about that. No, we don't discuss that. But because it has been pushed aside, because the conversations have not been held, because the experiences have been shoved under the rug, it's the main reason why these experiences and these numbers have constantly, increased. It's why it's been able to thrive, because no one wants to even just talk about it. And if we really think about it, how could it hurt us? It wouldn't hurt us to have the conversation. It hurts more when we don't even face it, when we don't talk about it. And even if it's not occurring in the home or wherever you are, we can still have the conversation, because sooner or later, it's going to come up. In society, it's going to come up. And what better person than to have the conversation with as a parent and with your child while they're younger? Go ahead and have that conversation with them. Let them know who the predators are or who they can be. Let them know about boundaries. Let them know about consent. We all have boundaries. We all have our personal space. And it doesn't even have to be a deep conversation. You can teach boundaries simply such as, look, don't touch my toy. Something simple. As far as consent, you're just basically asking for permission. So it starts off with small talks, small conversations at a young age. When your child is able to hold a conversation with you, that is the perfect time to start talking about boundaries and consent, good touch, bad touch, who's allowed in your space, who's allowed to touch you, who's not allowed to touch you. The importance of not keeping secrets. Simple conversations with your child, with your grandchildren, with any of your nieces or nephews who you may take care of. Having that conversation is important, and it can go a long way. So talking about not keeping secrets, because a lot of times we, as humans, sometimes we just kind of know or subconsciously hold on to things that we don't need to. And so even teaching how important it is not to keep secrets, because we know as adults what happens when we harbor onto things and not say anything about it. We know how it can help hurt us, mentally and emotionally. So think about a child. Would you want a child carrying such an awful secret, a dark secret like that? I mean, so many have done it, and they are still carrying that secret today. Some have carried it for 10, 20, 30, and 50 years, not knowing and maybe knowing how much it has affected you mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, and then physically and financially. You know, it all ties in. All because the conversation was not held. All because nobody wanted to talk about it. All because we didn't want anybody to judge us or judge our family, even though you weren't at fault. And a lot of times parents feel like they're going to be judged because it happened to their child. But no, the child didn't do it. The perpetrator did it. The child is never at fault. The perpetrator is. The child is never to blame. The perpetrator is. So think about how much could be avoided or how much change could actually happen or how much farther we can go if we talk, to simply have the conversation. So much can be done. So much can be accomplished. The numbers could possibly decrease. Because honestly, the statistics are only based off of what's reported. So I can't even imagine how many are not reported. So yes, they say the statistics for, you know, when it comes to females, 1 in 4 girls will be sexually abused by age 18. But that's only based off of how many are reported. I think about myself. I was under 18. I did not report it. I mean, I didn't even say anything about it, so it could not be reported. But 20 years later, I did report it. I'm happy to say that. But just think about the statistics that are given, and then on the other side, think about the statistics or the reports that are not made. And most of the time, parents or even young women, young men, do not report it. Because they feel like they will be blamed. They feel like they are at fault. They are embarrassed. They feel alone. And this is just based off of experience. I'm giving you what it felt like as a child first, you know, what it felt like as a child to carry the secret day after day, year after year. So as a child, okay, as a child, you are scared. And you're afraid of what it will do to the family, especially if the perpetrator is a family member or if it's a friend of the family. But when it's a family member, one of the first things that runs through your mind, the family is going to break apart, or half of the family is going to be upset with me, so I can't say anything. So you're torn between this decision, so whether to keep silent or who to tell? Do I speak up? Or, you know, you're like picking and choosing this whole time. And then at the same time, you're trying to convince yourself that you didn't do anything wrong, but at the same time, you feel like you did because it happened. And so then you start blaming yourself. Why didn't I say anything? Why didn't I speak up? Why didn't I say stop? Why didn't I say no? And that's another thing, just because you didn't say no does not mean you wanted it to happen. Just because you didn't say stop does not mean you didn't want it to happen. As a child, you can't even consent. So we're not even going to go down that road. But as a child, you can't even consent, especially when it is being done by an adult. Your body responds, okay? And even as an adult, as a child and as an adult, your body responds. But just because your body responds, it does not mean that you wanted it to happen. No one asked to be raped. No one asked to be abused. No one asked to be molested. But these things happen. And it's time that we face reality. This is real. It continues to happen. And it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what color you are, what your gender is, what your ethnicity is, what your religion is, what your culture is, what denomination you belong to. It does not matter. It doesn't matter how poor you are, how rich you are. It does not matter. It happens in every race, every culture, every denomination, each gender, whatever your sexuality is. It happens. We hear about it. We read about it. But we don't want to talk about it. And you know what kind of burns me? I'm kind of in my feelings right now because it just came across my mind. But one thing that bothers me is that there are so many, and it's changing a little bit. It's changing a little bit. So, you know, there are so many, I guess, rallies and protests and marches and everything for everything else. And it's easy to rally up people for, you know, this and for that. But when it's time to rally up people for sexual assault or sexual abuse, everybody, it's hard to find people. It's hard to find a group of committed people who are willing to march for the cause, you know? You have your few. Like, I'll be honest, I have my committed few. But as a society and as a community, why is it so hard for everyone to rally behind that? Like, come on, we are talking about children. We're talking about people who have been taken advantage of, people who have been raped, people who have been assaulted, harassed. But the crowds are nowhere to be found when it's time for these events. And then when we go to our faith-based communities, our churches, you really won't have anybody to show up. It's sad. It's so sad. You have very few who are willing to really stand up. They'll stand up for everything else. They'll protest for everything else, but don't have the same reaction, don't have the same response. And I know, because I am a survivor of it, I take it to heart. So I don't know if you know, that affects maybe the way I feel about it. But I just feel like across the board, when someone is hurt or when wrong is wrong, it should have the same reaction, the same response. But hopefully that will change. Slowly and surely, we hope that that will change. But until then, I'll still do my part. And those of you who are committed to doing the same thing, I urge you to keep working, keep fighting, keep raising awareness, keep educating our community, keep standing up. Even when it gets tough, even when the churches don't want to hear it, speak up anyway. I do not care, whatever it takes. Because I know what God has put inside of me, and you know what God has put inside of you. He knows your heart. He knows what you are passionate about when it comes to advocating, when it comes to reaching out, when it comes to helping these victims. No one does it like you do. So don't you dare stop. We can't stop. It's ministry. It's ministry. And so we cannot allow anyone or anything to hinder us from ministering, doing what God has called us to do, the things that he's placed in our hands, our voices. We cannot stop. We can't slow down. We've got to keep fighting because there are so many people who are still hurting, so many people who are still suffering, so many of our sisters and brothers in the congregation who are still hurting, still suffering, still, you know, silently suffering. They wear their face. Wear their mask that says, oh, I am great. But underneath the face or underneath the mask, they are crying. They are in pain. And that's why we, as advocates, you as supporters, have to do our part. Even if it's something as simple as sharing some information, what you've heard or what you've read. Like, it doesn't even have to come from my organization. I get excited when I see other people share these things that, you know, that I already know. I'm like, yes, someone else is, they get it. And a lot of times I even share things that are not, you know, from my area. If I see something that's helpful, something that's powerful, something that is worth sharing, that can help bring forth change or help someone else along the way, I'm going to share it. And if we all have that whole mindset or the same mindset to do the same thing, we never know who we are helping. Because I'm telling you, there's so many people that are just still hurting or still suffering. And, you know, I can't help them all. You can't help them all, but it's going to take all of us working together. It's going to take all of us speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. There are survivors who have not found their voice. They may have shared their story, but they may have stopped there, and that is okay. That is okay, because every survivor is not the same. Every survivor, they may not want to be on the platform, and that is perfectly fine. I posted earlier today because the day was Day of Action. And I said, for every survivor who has already shared their story, decision of sharing your story, you took action. And I am proud of you, because I know it takes a lot of courage to do that. It's hard. I know. It is hard. So it takes courage. And it takes you finding some inner strength. It takes the support of whoever who has been with you to help you share that story. So be proud of even sharing your story. Even if you have not shared it with the whole world or shared it with your community, that is okay. I'm just proud of you for even being able to share it with someone. And I've learned over these years that God has someone in place for us who we share our story with. God uses all of our stories in his own way. He doesn't use them the same way. So no matter how you share it, when you share it, where you share it, just know that God has a special person that's waiting for your story, who's waiting to hear it, who needs to hear it. So don't ever be pressured by anyone to tell your story if you're not ready to share it in a way that they want you to. It is okay. As supporters, whether you are family or friends and someone has confided in you, there are things that you must be mindful of, what to say or what not to say. And actually, if you visit that website that I gave out earlier, rain.org, it actually has some links for supporters. So if you are unsure of what to say, or if you are afraid of saying the wrong thing, you can visit that website. But I can give you a few things. But that website will actually give you some insight on what to say or what not to say. Because a lot of times, like even family, they don't know what to say. And even as friends, you may not know what to say. Like one of those things that you should not say is, why did you take so long to say something? That's probably one of the worst things that you can say, because it can cause a victim or a survivor to kind of retreat, go back, and shut down. Because I've just gathered the courage to tell you what happened, and then the first thing you want to tell me or ask is, why did I wait? It's like, look, it's like a slap in the face. I'm pouring out what happened, and that's not what I need. That's not what they need. Victims, they need an ear. They need someone to know that they're going to be there and do the best that they can. But at the same time, make sure, if you are being a supporter, make sure that you know your limit. If you cannot handle it, if it comes to a point where you cannot answer a question or you cannot handle it, make sure you are open and honest with them and let them know that there are resources that you'd be willing to go with them to find out what the next step is, because there are resources available. Even when it comes to ministers and pastors in the church, maybe you're uncomfortable dealing with situations like that, and that is completely fine. But don't try to handle it on your own and not knowing what you're doing, and your member is left feeling worse than they were before God in you. So if you are unsure, there are workshops, there are trainings, there are videos, there are resources available even for you, so you'll know how to lead your member, what to say to them, what resources that they need when it comes to counseling, when it comes to their mental health. All of these things are important. Most folks don't know how it impacts you, how it affects you, you know, mentally and emotionally. It starts dealing with your mental health. And so then if you know if your mental health is no good, then physically you're not going to be able to be any good, because all of it is connected. Because if you're not mentally able to handle what's going on, or if you're going down mentally and emotionally, it's going to eventually start affecting you physically. So even when it comes to counseling and therapy, okay, it is okay. I myself, I attended some counseling sessions. I went to group therapy. Were they beneficial? Of course. I still went to church. Was that beneficial? Of course. I still journaled and I read my Bible. Were they beneficial? Of course. So it's a mixture of everything that can be extremely beneficial. So it is okay whether you choose to do counseling and therapy, and maybe you just don't want to. And if you don't want to, hey, it is okay. But I'm just telling you what I did and how it was beneficial for me. It allowed me to understand who I was and how everything was connected from when I was a child. And I think that probably was kind of the best and the worst thing to learn about myself, because it teaches you who you are. It also teaches you your triggers, the things that make you think of those moments, of those times, because it is important that you do learn your triggers. When you get to learn your triggers, then you're able to kind of control what happens afterwards or how you respond to them. Because at first, when those triggering moments come, there is no telling where it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. Because the thing about memories, the thing about triggers is that we cannot control them. Memories, we cannot control them. They're going to pop up. But it's all about how you respond. It's all about how you're going to handle it when it begins happening or when it begins replaying in your mind. What are you going to do? How are you going to react? How are you going to respond? Are you going to let it control your situation, whatever you're in that moment? Or are you going to be able to take control of it? Take a moment, let it happen, and then move on. But it's all a process. This isn't something that you learn overnight, which is why I'm grateful for the therapy, which is why I'm grateful for those counseling sessions that I had. So it's very beneficial, very beneficial. So again, it is okay to have Jesus, and it is okay to have your Bible, and it's okay to have therapy. I'm just telling you what works for me. Everyone may not agree. Everyone may have their own method of healing, but you will find your method once you start your journey. But you got to start your journey in order to find your method of healing. So it is very important, even in the beginning stages of how you begin to overcome. You know, someone may ask, what are the steps of overcoming sexual abuse? So the first thing that you need to do is actually say that it happened. It happened to me. And sometimes that is one of the hardest things to admit. It's one of the hardest things to say, I get it, because we don't want to believe that it happened. We don't want to say that. It's like, no. Whether you're male or female. Because I know there are a lot of stigmas that come with it, even as a male. So I know it's difficult to even fix your mouth, as they say, fix your mouth to even say it. But that is the beginning step, the beginning stage of healing. You have to admit, have to acknowledge that it happened. Once you have acknowledged that it happened, you have to make the decision that you want to heal. Have to make the decision that you want to heal. Now, I know a lot of times we say we want it. Certain things are like, yeah, I want this. Make all these affirmations, all these goals. And sometimes we don't go after all of them, you know, if we're honest. We might set these, I'm not even going to call them resolutions because most of the time when people make these resolutions, they don't stick to them. But I know the past 2 or 3 years, my best friend and I have been doing vision boards. And so sometimes it's easier to achieve those goals when you see them. But even then, there are times when there may be a couple of things you may not accomplish or a couple of things you may not cross off the list. But when it comes to making that decision to heal, you have to be serious about it. Because the thing is, only you can make that decision. Like, I can want it for you so badly, but if that's not what you want, then I can't make it happen. Your friends, your family, they can want it for you so badly, but they can't make it happen for you. So only you can make that decision to heal or want to heal. And I guarantee when you really make up your mind, like, I am going to heal or I'm going to start my healing journey, however you want to do it, then you can make it happen. You can. It won't be easy. I'd be lying if I said it was nothing to get to where I am. But no. And even as you progress through the years, there still be some days and there will still be some moments where you just want to break down and cry whenever you think about it. Why? Because it still happens to me. So you are forever healing, I guess you could say. But that's just life. That's life because the memories, they are there. It's an experience you'll never forget. And, you know, that's the best way that I can put it. But there is a but. There is a but. So although these memories still exist, and although I still have those moments, although you'll still have those moments, although you'll still cry, although I still cry, we serve a God. I should say there is a God that will help you and give you the strength that you need each and every day to make it. I'm telling you, I could not have made it this far without God, without the prayers, without His word. It really does give you strength. It really does. And every day I pray for it, and every day I thank Him for it. The strength, the joy, and peace. Those are three things that I constantly pray for. Strength, joy, and peace. Strength, joy, and peace. Why? Because I know it only can take the strength of God. Only the strength of God. To make it through any bad memory, any lingering memory, any triggering moment, anything that causes me to cry or takes me back to that little girl. It only takes the strength of God that'll help me get through those moments. The joy, because I don't want to walk around feeling sorry for myself. I don't want anyone feeling sorry for me. But I want only the joy that God can give me from the inside. And notice there is a difference between being happy and having joy or being joyful. So there may be some moments when I'm not happy, but at the end of the day, I still have joy. I still have joy, and that's something that comes from the inside. So things and people, yeah, of course, they can make you happy, which is why things and people can make you sad. But it's not the things and people that always give you joy, at least that internal joy. That you have to dig, that you have to dig for yourself whenever you're having those moments. So although I cry, although I have those moments, I can still smile because I have joy. And then peace, whew, man, when I think about where I could have been, the state of mind I could have been in, man, shoot. That's exactly why I thank him for the peace of mind. He gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, people may look at you like, how are you not crazy? How do you just keep smiling? It's the peace of God. It's only the peace of God. Because there might be some moments when you're like, oof, feel like going crazy. But thank God for his peace. Thank God for his peace. Because I'm telling you, the peace of God, it will save you and save others, if you know what I mean. The peace of God will save you and save others. And so those three things, strength, joy, and peace, are what I pray for every single day. Every single day. I'm telling you, that is what has helped me along this journey. That's what helps me tell my story time after time. And although, you know, it is a little emotional, once you've shared your story, I will share that. It does get emotional after talking about it, which is why at the end of this month, I know I'm going to have to take another mini vacation just to clear my mind, because it is draining. It's draining and very emotional. But it's all worth it. It is all worth it. If I had to make the decision again, I would do it again. Because I just want these children to be protected. I want my sisters and brothers in Christ to find their freedom, to find their voice, to find that the true joy that they need, because they deserve it. You deserve it. I don't want anyone to continue to hurt from their past for something that was done to them. All right, looks like I have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring the caller on. All right, come on, caller. All right, while we're waiting on the caller to come in, I'm going to go ahead and give out those resources again. So, again, the sexual assault hotline is 1-800-656-4673. Is our caller on?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm really enjoying the show. And, oh, God, I don't know how people say there isn't a God, because I was just talking to my son's therapist. I'm a victim of sexual abuse by a family member also. But I just found out yesterday that the father of two of my children is on the sex offenders list.
Oh, my goodness.
After being in a relationship with him for almost 7 years and knowing him for 15 years, which my 14-year-old, she'll be 15 tomorrow. He's been in her life since she was 6 months.
Wow.
So it's kind of like devastating to me. Like,
yes, yes.
I've been sleeping with the enemy all the time. Like, we're not together now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like it's having me relive my past all over again.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness.
And
I'm so sorry.
We share a daughter and a son together. And my daughter, like, now, she, like, now, I don't want nothing to do with them.
Right, right. Mm. My goodness, my
goodness. It came up in a strange way. I was talking to one of his children, his older children, his daughter. And she told me. So my second oldest daughter was here, and I couldn't hold it in. I had to share it with somebody.
Right,
so
right.
So I told her, and we went on there. Like, his picture or nothing didn't come up, but she like, Mom, how old is he? How old is Mr. Gerald? Because they don't remember. They was,
mm-hmm.
you know, younger.
mm-hmm.
So I told her his age. You know, we put in his name. And they started naming, like, his family members and stuff. And it just creeped me out.
Yeah, I bet. Wow.
But it didn't tell me, like, what actually happened, but somebody told me, like, I can go on Megan's Law and see.
Right.
I think we
mm-hmm.
were just on some type of site just to see, you know. It probably was just a sex offender site. Like,
right,
it wasn't
probably.
The actual Megan's Law, yeah, that mm-hmm. disclosed everything, what they did, you know. So, you know, when I was talking to his daughter, she said, you know, nothing, it had, like, the last case was probably, like, in 2006, and that's when I met him, when I had my
wow.
daughter in 2006. And I
wow.
think he was just getting out of jail then, I believe. But I'm like, you see how God worked, like, 15 years later, he disclosed that to me through
mm-hmm.
somebody else. But I just praise him because, you know, thank God he never touched none of my kids, none of my daughters.
Right. Right.
I just thank God for that, you know.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And now it's like I got to take it to God and ask him, how can I disclose this to him to let him know that I know? I have to let him know that I know this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, it's eating me up right now. Yes, it is.
Yes. Mm. Wow, I am so sorry, but I'll definitely be praying for you so that God can direct
yes,
you in
please.
How to handle this. I sure will. I sure will. Gosh. And that just lets you know
I'm sorry,
how...
my name is Michelle Hines.
Michelle? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely
I'm following you on Facebook,
tonight.
But I don't even be on Facebook no more. Yeah. So I don't
yeah.
be on Facebook. But that was like a smack in the face.
Yeah, that lets you know, how they work, because sometimes it's right under your nose, like I say, it can be family
yeah,
members,
and he never, like,
friends
showed
of the family.
Any signs mm-hmm. of being a pedophile or none of that, like.
Right. Mm-hmm. yeah, because so sometimes they're not the creepy people. We were just talking about that on an interview
yeah.
that I did earlier today. Sometimes it's not that creepy family member or that creepy uncle or that creepy grandfather. Sometimes they might just look like you and I, and, you know, you just never know.
Yeah.
You just never
yep.
know. Wow. But, yes, you're definitely in my prayers tonight. I'll be sure to call your name even when I'm doing the closing prayer tonight. Got your name down.
Okay.
But I do appreciate you calling in and sharing, because that even allowed me to, you know, talk about something else that is important when it comes to if you can look up, you know, those who are on the sex offender list, wherever you
mm-hmm.
are, whatever community you're in. If you need to search, especially if you have kids, you can definitely search your neighborhood. There's a website, I'm sure, for every area where you can look up and see who's
yeah,
registered.
Yeah, around here where I live, there's a lot of them around here. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah,
and
that's
they, like,
another
0.1 miles. I'm like, that's around
mm-hmm.
a corner.
right.
Yeah,
yes,
a lot
exactly.
of them. It's some even down the street from where I live on the block.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's something that we
yeah.
all can do as individuals. So we all have to be careful. We have to, you know, check out that list. Even when it comes to churches,
yeah.
whoever's working with the youth ministry, make sure you check. And if you got to do background checks, I suggest it, because if they're going to be taking the time out to be meeting with the kids, then you want to make sure that these kids are in good hands and there aren't any pedophiles in the church. So I encourage even churches to do that too. So, yes, we all need to do it. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
Who can we trust anymore?
Right.
God.
Right.
That's the only person we can trust. You know?
That's right. That's right.
We got to lay it on him and just allow him to guide us, you know. But I'm just grateful and thankful that, you know, even 15 years later, it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nothing never happened to my children, you know.
Good. Well, I'm happy about that. That's important. So,
you know, and I pray that he don't, you know, decide to go out there and do it again, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ever try it again, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't know in detail what happened, how it happened. It don't even matter. It happened.
Right. That's it.
And what brought me closure with my cousin was when my oldest daughter got killed in 2010. Mm-hmm. He called me and he was screaming, hollering, crying. And he was like, I'm just so sorry for what I did to you. You know, I was young. I didn't know no better. And that gave me closure with him.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that he acknowledged what he did to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're good.
And
well,
I'm
glad.
It was sincere.
Right.
You know? I don't trust him. I won't trust my kids around him. But I just have that. I forgave him. I've been forgave him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just have that closure, you know.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Michelle. We're actually about to go ahead and do our prayer. So, like I said, I'm going to be sure to mention you in the prayer, and I'm praying for you, girl. I'm praying for you.
Thank you, and I'll be praying for you, too.
Thank you so much, because I still need
all right. We all do. Woo, Lord.
Yes, ma'am. All right. For those of you who have been listening, it is now time for our call to salvation. This is a chance for those who may not even know God, if you want to make the decision to get to know him and to invite him into your life, this is an opportunity that you can take advantage of. I know churches have been you know, not everyone has been open. Some are reopening, praise God for that. But maybe if you haven't been in service in over a year or whatever the case may be, this is a moment that you can kind of be renewed, refreshed, and start over. You know, we're in a season of a new beginning. And so now is the time that you can renew your relationship with God. And sometimes we have to do that. And I'm also going to make a prayer for those who are victims of sexual abuse, those who are survivors, those who are still dealing with the pain of the past. I'm also going to pray for you tonight, and those of you who may be sick, whatever the illness may be, I'll be praying for you as well, and we're going to pray for our sister Michelle. And so for those of you who are ready to accept God into your life, he tells us to just repent. He asks for his forgiveness and believe that he sent his son Jesus to die for you and I. And so everything that you have been through, everything that you've done, I don't care how ugly you look at yourself, how bad you think of yourself. You may think you're the worst person in the world, but guess what? God loves you for who you are, and he will forgive you. He forgives all of us for all of our wrongdoing. He's a just God. He's just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of our sins. And if you're ready to accept him, you can pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, for this moment to call in your holy name. We thank you for what has been said and done thus far, and even for this very moment as we talk to you. Father, those who are accepting you tonight, God, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you will forgive us of all of our wrongdoings. God, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit only like you can. God, we ask that you transform our mind and transform our heart. Anything that's not of you, we ask you to remove it and replace it with your Holy Spirit. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit take full control. God, we ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us so that we may have a new walk, a new talk, and walk in the newness of life. God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. And we'll believe in you. And we believe that you have washed our sins away so that we may have everlasting life with you. Father, we accept you into our hearts in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, take full control. Do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for receiving us. And thank you for allowing us to receive you. And Father, I pray for every victim and every survivor of sexual abuse, those who are still enduring the pain, those who are still fighting and suffering silently from the pain of their past, wherever they are, every man, woman, boy, and girl, God, I pray that you will strengthen them and that you will empower them only like you can to seek the help that they need. Send someone their way that will encourage them to speak up and help them along their way. Father, I know if you did it for me, then you can do it for the next person. God, I pray for every organization that is fighting for survivors, fighting to raise awareness and to educate the people. God, I pray that you continue to bless this month and allow it to be a blessing to someone, to some victim, to some survivor. God, I pray that it touches their heart so that they may draw even closer to you. God, I pray that you get the glory out of every single thing that we say and every single thing that we do, because it's all about you. And Father, I pray for our sister Michelle. God, you heard the words that were said. God, I pray that you strengthen her and that you direct her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to give her the mind to do what she should do. God, direct her path, direct her mind, direct her talk. God, whatever it is that you set out for her to do, God, I pray that you just strengthen her in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for protecting her children. God, continue to watch over them and her entire family. God, I pray for Brother Rob. God, thank you for what you have already done for him. God, continue to strengthen him and give him a full recovery in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for Purpose Kingdom Network and every host, everyone who's a part of it. God, thank you for this platform. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for this opportunity to encourage, to empower, to uplift, and to spread the gospel, to spread your love, to spread your word. We thank you, and we don't take it for granted. God, you've been so good to us. Thank you, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our pastor, and she's going to give us our Purpose Kingdom Network announcements.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and every one who joined in with us this evening. We thank and bless God for each and every one of you. We thank and bless God for Minister Arthenius Jackson and her ministry, One Touch Transformation. And, you know, I'm just going to share real quick what I love about what God is doing with her and through her. There is an old statement that you would hear probably grandparents and great-grandparents or great aunts and uncles say more often than you would people, the young adult generation today. But the statement would be, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And at the end of the day, I bless God for getting her to a place that she could take something that was a tragic situation and turn the lemons of her life into lemonade. And not lemonade just where she can make people aware, but where she can pour healing, where God can use her to release healing, to release people from the bondage of the hurt and the pain that they hide inside, to let people know that it's okay to take off the mask. Hallelujah, God. So we thank God for her. We praise God for her, and we pray that God will continue to bless her and that everything she thinks about touching, that he will bless a thousandfold in Jesus' name. We want to, by faith, encourage that soul out there that gave their life to Christ to find the Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God, that's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting with the Daughters of Ruth and the host, Reverend Maureen Lee, at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Also, please keep your eyes open on social media. Come May 9th, the Lord has blessed us. Purpose Kingdom Network will be transforming into PKN Radio, where we will be broadcasting the love of God through word and music 24 hours a day. So we thank and praise God for that. Again, we thank each and every one of you for joining in. Minister Arsenius, wonderful word this evening, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Thank you for those announcements. And just to give a few announcements for what's going on with One Touch Transformation, let me see if I can pull them up right quick. You know, with it being Sexual Assault Awareness Month, we do have a few virtual events going on, and you are more than welcome to join in. So coming up next, let's see, give me 1 second. And it'll be posted on the website as well in case you don't hear all of them that I'm announcing tonight. All right, so this Saturday is going to be Survivor Saturday, and it'll be a Zoom. Well, it'll be with a Zoom, but I'll also have it uploaded on the page. So we'll be talking with different survivors. Last year I did like a survivor session every Saturday afternoon. So we'll have the first one this Saturday afternoon. Next week or next Sunday, this coming Sunday, we're going to have our annual SAAM Fitness Challenge with Coach Tisha. We're going to do a 14-day fitness challenge. And like I said, this is virtual, and this is April the 11th through the 24th. We will upload those exercises, so it's okay. Don't feel bad if you feel like you can't do it. I promise you they are simple for the most part, so you'll be able to do them. And we'll do a demonstration of them just in case you're unsure of what these exercises look like. So that's our annual fitness challenge, and it's going to be for 14 days. April 24th will be our other Survivor Saturday. April the 28th is our Denim Day, and we're also having a seminar called Spark the Convo that Wednesday evening. Spark the Convo was one of the last things we started where we were going into churches and, you know, having the conversation, but as well giving these ministers and leaders or those who work in leadership positions, we were giving them the tools and the resources they need whenever this comes up in the congregation, because a lot of times people in the church may not know what to do or who to turn to. But we bring the resources to the churches, but this time it's going to be virtual, so it's open to anyone who's in any type of leadership that's in the church. I encourage you to please attend it, and we'll have the Zoom link and that information up as we get closer to it. So those are our announcements. It's posted on our Facebook page. It's on our website, and we'll continue to post them as well. You can visit our website at www.onett.me, and I'll be sure to post those other resources that I talked about earlier, which was rain.org, the Sexual Assault Hotline, and 1in6.org. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at _ONETT. I want to take this time to thank all of our online listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everyone who called in to listen. We greatly appreciate your support. And thank you so much, Pastor Toy, for allowing us to have this platform. Truly, I am greatly, greatly, greatly appreciative of it, because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful and fabulous night. And until next time, I love you.
Jesus lives.
He raised me up.
she saves me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.